This is Triple H 100.1 FM. Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Rotary Matters. My name's Ian Stewart and it's really good to be with you again on this lovely, sunny but slightly windy spring / summer day. Now, the idea of our programme, Rotary Matters, is to put the spotlight onto some of the many worthy causes and the projects and the people who make up Rotary. Today we have a story about an extraordinary, highly talented artist. He's a Rotarian who has turned his skills and his passion for painting and his love for cycling into major fundraising activities impacting thousands of lives. His name is Michael Harridan. He lives outside Sydney in the Lower Blue Mountains. And coming up later this month, his work is featured in an exhibition called, appropriately, Art for a Cause. We're going to find out who Michael Harridan is, how he has turned his talents to improve the lives of others. He was a delightful and a very enthusiastic interviewee who I spoke with just a couple of days ago on Zoom. So today on Rotary Matters, it's a little different. It's a great privilege to have with us a celebrated artist. Now, the reason for this will become obvious in a moment. His name is Michael Harridan. He comes from the Lower Blue Mountains area to the west of Sydney. As I say, he is an artist. And some of his work is going to helping raising funds for the projects of the Lower Blue Mountains Rotary Club. I wanted to find out a bit more about Michael. Michael, I've had a look at some of your work on Facebook and on the internet, a wide range of subjects. How do you choose what you're going to paint?
It was really interesting because I've never been taught how to paint. It just come natural. I think it was in my dad's genes. He used to draw horses and things like that. And there's this pencil and a piece of paper. And I just thought that how easy it is just to do two main things when I was young. And they were the probably the two most important things. That's a person's face, because you think of 50% of your life, you look at a person's face. And the other one is a tree. That's which sounds really a bit silly, but if you draw a tree really well, which is probably thousands of different types of trees, you just put a line behind it. You got a landscape. So really landscaping and a person's personality were really big for me. I didn't have to think about it. It just became natural. And I've just drawn all my life, and I find that the foundation of art is being able to sketch, because the rest falls into place. You can add colour, but if you can sketch, you can eventually paint. But if you can paint, you can't always eventually sketch. And also nostalgia, that I just think my family go back to 1840 in Penrith area, and now I'm in Glenbrook, which is just up the road, and I've stuck to the grass is not always greener on the other side. I just find in your own land area it's really special. Even though I've traveled around the world 5-6 times, I come back here. So a lot of my paintings are surrounded by what's around my wall here. I hardly ever sell originals because I'm so attached to them, and I just feel like I've lost something. I'd rather give them away to my family or my friends so that they've got me, so to speak. And I've just never sold paintings because I'm, once again, so attached. So I just thought of this ingenious method. I'm really proud of it. And that's another story about the schools overseas. And I thought I'd sell them as prints. So instead of selling them for, say, $500, sell them for $150. And you might have a Glenbrook Park, and you don't lose it. You can sell 10 copies of Glenbrook Park, or St. Stephen's Church, or Ludnam Church, or Windsor Bridge, or Nepean River. And that's what I did last time down here at Glenbrook. I tried it, and I thought I'd sell 8, but I sold 80. And I was so, I was just so proud that all my friends turned up. I got them all drunk, and they didn't have a clue what they're buying. And it was just turned into a great community, which to me is another factor that any form of community I'm just really wrapped in. So I hope I got some foundation of why I paint in that long extended information there, Ryan.
We're talking with Michael Harridan, artist. The places he referred to just now are local to him in the Lower Blue Mountains area to the west of Sydney. I think he's being a little self-effacing in saying that he's simplifying it. It's not as simple as he makes it out to be. Michael, you mentioned that you'd done a bit of travelling around the world. Some of your work was from Tuscany. Tell us where else have you painted?
Well, I taught in England in 2004, and as I said, I'm trying to motivate everyone just to walk around with a pencil and a piece of paper, and that's what I did every day. I'd leave my family and just walk into a corner and draw Leeds Castle or Cornwall Church or places in France, Le Bruges, Dordogne, up in Belgium, Bruges. There's so many places overseas, and we traveled to Italy some 10 years ago, and like Lake Como up the north, and Cinque Terre. A lot of you people would have heard of all these places. Rome, just sitting down having a cup of coffee. My wife one day wondered why all our heads, my two boys and me, had our heads the same direction. We didn't know the other two of us were drawing. We're all sketching the same thing. We didn't realize. So it's in our genes. We just, it was unbelievable. My wife says one of the most favorite scenes she'd ever seen. Without any planning, we just picked up a pencil, same angle, same pencil angle, same head, same piece of paper. So all actually looking in a different direction, probably in the Colosseum, I don't know. But we didn't plan. And she thought it was so beautiful. Took a photo of our big buff heads just drawing in a certain direction. So it's a passion, like we've all got it. We've all got a skill, and I think it's a bit of a sin if you don't use it.
You carry a sketchbook with you wherever you go.
Everywhere,
Absolutely.
absolutely everywhere. But just reel over here, and oh, here we are. Here's a book, and if you turn around here, oh yeah,
So
there's a book.
Michael's in his study, and he's surrounded by containers with artistic art elements, brushes and pencils, and probably a bit of charcoal in there as well. Michael,
Sketchbook.
yes, of course. Michael, what is in fact your favorite medium to do your art?
Seen my funny, if you call sketching my as a medium, I'd say that, but outside of that, watercolor, because it can be done so quickly, and it's so transparent. It is just whereas oils, you can fix up a mistake quite easily, and acrylics, but it's also smells, and it's also got to carry a lot of stuff around with you, and it takes longer to paint. But a watercolor can be done a lot very quickly, and the problem with it but the problem with the watercolor, you can muck up very quickly too, and once you make a mistake in watercolor, you can't fix it, so you've got to get it right, and that comes with doing it over and over and over again. So a watercolor is
You're holding up a sketch, but no, it's a tin,
palette.
a palette.
And if you just open it up, there it is there.
Open it up, and then you've got all the paints ready to be mixed.
All the paints there,
Excellent.
and that's what you can do in a field. All you need is a little container of water, a couple of brushes, and a bit more simpler than that, and just a sketchbook that opens up. So, whereas oils, you've got to use the whole
Yes.
wooden instruments to hold up and that. So probably because of a bit of a laziness there, and also a bit of a convenience where you can sit on the edge of a river anywhere, pull it out, and just and the other lovely thing is, doesn't matter how what ability you've got, everyone who walks up and has a look at you doing it, for some reason they really appreciate a person having a go.
Yes.
Anybody, everyone just says the same thing. Gee, that's lovely. Gee, that's
Yes.
lovely.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter,
So, Michael,
Yes.
what's the easiest and what is the hardest thing to paint? Thinking, for example, you mentioned churches or landscapes, or animals. Which is the
The easiest thing to sketch, and everyone thinks this should be the hardest, is a caricature, because a caricature, you just pick three things in a person's face and just go hell for leather and exaggerate it, and it looks more like them than a portrait. So the hardest thing to get right is a portrait, because one mistake, one, the ear is 1 centimeter too big, it looks wrong. But a caricature, you deliberately make that mistake and it looks more like them, which is really crazy. So that's with faces, as I said, my two big ones. With With landscapes, everyone thinks everything's got to be green. It's not.
Right.
You see good artists, they just don't do green. They mix up reds and blues, and it turns out like an Australian beautiful color, like an orange. And so there's another problem too, because if you really, there's so many different shades out there, and you got to get it right. And that's so that to me is the hardest, is just those shades, getting them right. And also a portrait. So, like, and I always chuck in, I always like putting a building in with a painting because they complement each other. I learned that when I went to Sydney. I thought, oh, I'm not going to like Sydney because there's too many old buildings. But I think the character of them with the tree is phenomenal. They both complement each other, if you know what I mean.
So that's Michael Harradine, an artist. What an interesting insight, wasn't it, into how he goes about creating his works of art. And I think he's simplifying it quite a lot. When you see the actual works of art themselves, you'll know there's a lot of skill goes into them. We'll be rejoining this conversation with Michael Harradine a little later in the show. But in the meantime, I wanted to find a bit more about some secret details that Michael has hidden within some of his paintings.
Absolutely. I've got your Facebook page open. I'm looking at a scene of Beechworth, which is in the high country in Victoria. It's a street scene.
Yes.
You've got
Yep.
trees on either side of the road, but you've got a striking, I think it's a Georgian building on one side of the road, and a lovely light slanting in.
I'm glad you said that. I'm really glad because there's something else in there, Anne. If you look really closely, as you know, I know all my paintings, every inch. And before I tell you what's in there, you've got to love your own painting. I don't care what anyone else thinks. When you that's the art of art is if you like it, that's it. There is no other thing. I tell my students. Anyway, if you look in the distance, you'll see two little dots, two little people, two vertical lines. That is my brother, that is my son and me riding through Beechworth 15 years ago, raising money for a school in Cambodia. So
Fantastic.
if you see two, I did one up at Grafton. I just put two little lines, and there's the picture. And if you look really closely in the distance, two little dots. That is me and my son riding through Beechworth.
So,
And
listeners, Michael is referring to one of his artworks. I'd urge you to get onto the Michael Harradine Facebook site, and you'll see lots and lots of examples of his work. But you mentioned just now that you were raising money on that bike ride to support a school.
yes.
Lower Blue Mountains Rotary Club, to which you belong, supports the Samrahong School in Cambodia.
Yep.
How did that relationship come about in the first place?
Well, I've spoken to a lot of schools and that too, the same line. I went over there in 2005 to support my son doing volunteer environmental work in Cambodia. And I said to my wife, oh, I'll go and look after him. But really, I just wanted to go and have fun with him. And he was about 18, 19. And I suddenly I saw what he was doing. I was really impressed with the people were just it was surreal. Like it's just mindfulness was really big for them, and they just had gratitude and empathy, like that was ingrained in them. Anyway, and this little bloke walked up to me, called Mr. Ross, and said, "G'day, you're living at my lodgement. Can you help me build a school?" And I said, "No, run away. Your government will build your school for you." So I started reading what happened in Cambodia in the meantime, having fun with my son. And I realized that about 2 million people were killed by this in that era. I traveled through Asia and Cambodia in 1976 after I finished uni. And I didn't realize what was going on next opposite that Mekong River I would travel down. And I thought, well, this is really important for kids to have awareness of just how lucky they've got it. And I was teaching at a school, and I said, "Oh, this is a great idea. I'm going to do it. I'll change my mind here. I'm going to try and raise money for a school over in Cambodia." And so I got my all the kids at my school behind it, as in maybe 700 kids, raised money. And I thought, I always want to do a 1,000 kilometer bike ride. And I thought, okay, well, I'll ride from Melbourne to Sydney, and also raise money for a school. So we raised about $25,000.
Wow.
And And that built the school. Mind you, I wasn't a member of Rotary. I just thought, I'm being a teacher, this is really ultra important. I tend to suck up to mates on our principals and schools. So I got about a few schools behind that, Blackstone High, Winmalee, Penrith High School, St Mary's Senior, my school. And it was excellent for awareness that the kids realised what is over that hill, how lucky they've got it and have empathy. So we built a school in Cambodia in a mine-infested area of Sam Rong, which is up in the northwest near Thailand. And it was just – and then I did this – we did this bike ride, my son and I, and all these people jumped on, about five people, six people, best friends. We had people and support drivers, riders in the front. And it wasn't Rotary project. They helped. They helped so much. And we built the school in Sam Rong, Cambodia. A year later, another person walked up to me who was a Rotarian. Look, you've done this. Can you help us build it? Michael, can you help us build a school in Papua New Guinea?
Oh,
goodness. So I said, oh, you beauty. I always want to do a bike ride from Brisbane to Sydney. So my son and I, again, rode from Brisbane to Sydney. And out of 1,000 kilometres, we did 15 kilometres on the motorway. The rest was through national parks, through everywhere. And once again, Rotary clubs were there helping me because I had some good friends in Rotary. And that was a Rotary project, even though I wasn't a Rotarian. And we raised $125,000.
What?
And mind you, that's because when you do it, they know every cent will get there, so to speak. And minus 1 cent, probably 1%. And people in Papua New Guinea were raising money for me. People had businesses there because I'm in Penrith Lees Club. I used to go up and suck up to mates of mine who are directors, and they got behind it too. And once again, I'd go to schools and start blathering, talking about the awareness factor. So we raised 125. So I built a school in Papua New Guinea at a place called Sam Rong. Not Sam Rong. Up in Goroka, Mando, M-A-N-D-O, Mando. Up in Goroka, in northern, up right up in the highlands of Papua New Guinea. 2 years later, and that was a big school. That was about six rooms, all professionally built. That would have cost $2.5 million. We did it for $125,000. Yeah. So a lot of people say, why in the hell do you help people overseas? Two reasons. One is you give them a pencil and they love you. Two, $1 goes 40 times further. So, and also the third reason I'm going to add to it, if kids here hear about it, they are the winners too. So then I – basically all the money I raised was what I did and what my son did. And never really asked for any finances really from Rotary because I just didn't. I thought, you put the effort in yourself. And so this back to my vision, the school back in Sam Rong was going that successful in Cambodia that we went there 2 years ago, and I wasn't sure whether it'd become defunct, whether it went down a hill, but I got out of the car with my two boys and there's all these kids lined up with this sign saying, we love you. So it was fantastic.
You're so generous and so warm-hearted in everything that you do. You've got the most wonderful smile, which betrays exactly how it must make you feel, I'm sure. Coming up at the end of October, there is an art exhibition in Glenbrook Cinema Hall. It's called Art for a Cause. What can people expect to see at that exhibition?
Probably about 40 paintings. Most of them are prints, so they're a lot cheaper. I sell the prints totally matted professionally for $90. But I get them framed probably for only another $60. And the reason why I can do it so cheap is because I've made them all the same size, where it would have been probably 300. I've got friends who support me with the framing. I've got friends who support me with the matting. And I sold 80 last year. So they're basically the same as last year, or half of them are. All the big sellers I've kept. And all the new ones of Europe, Tuscany, Italy, Cambodia I've brought along. That's of over in the back of Windsor. That's where I swam as a little boy with my family. So they're once again very nostalgic.
So, Michael, for the benefit of our listeners, because we're on audio, can you just describe that scene on that image you just held up for me?
Okay, that's over the back of I hope you can see that over the
Yeah,
back
I
of
can.
Windsor. Yeah, and that's where I used to swim with my brother and sister and my parents. A lot of Sundays, and that's something that was 50, 60 years ago. 50 years ago, so I'm very attached to that. So that's something everyone loves because it's a local painting.
We've only got a minute.
Finish.
We've only got a moment left.
Oh, here we have two. Yep.
Let me thank you very much for your time in sharing your story about the role, the part that art has played in your life, but more importantly, what art has done to improve the lives of thousands of other people who've benefited from the funds that you have raised as an artist and as a cyclist to support the development of education facilities in Cambodia and in Papua New Guinea. So Art for a Cause is the name of your exhibition. It's coming up on the 28th of October. Sorry, it begins on the 27th of October with an opening night.
That's the opening night. Yep, that's the opening night.
The Saturday's the opening night, is it?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Friday's the opening night,
Yep,
the 27th,
at
and
6 o'clock.
then it's, yep.
And then it's open on Sunday, on Saturday from 10 until 6. So
That's it.
I would urge you, if you're in that part of the world, please, please pop in. You'll see some wonderful art, and you'll get a chance to meet Michael as well and understand the story behind the subjects that he paints, and also the causes that he supports. It's been a privilege talking with you this morning, Michael,
Thanks,
and I wish you all success with Art for a Cause coming up at the end of the month. Michael Harridan, thank you so much.
thank you, Ian.